Morning. It's good to see you today. We're very glad that you are with us, and we hope you get a Bible and join us here in just a moment as we study from God's Word. We appreciate the songs that were led this morning because they especially address some of the things that we'll be studying from the Bible this morning. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. We're going to talk about that some as we get a little into our lesson. And also, do you know my Jesus? In this passage of John 14, we'll see in just a moment that Philip and the disciples then, and very often today, it may be that the followers of Jesus have some trouble actually knowing Him. And so we want to talk about that in just a moment as we study from God's Word. If you're visiting with us this morning, we especially are glad that you're with us, and we hope you'll be back every chance you have. We want you to come back. We're glad that you're with us. And if you have any Bible questions, concerns about what we teach or practice, be happy to address those from the Bible with you. Study more together to know the will of God for our lives. And if you are not a Christian, we want to encourage you especially this morning to consider your relationship with God. Do you know Jesus? And if you do not, as we'll be studying about that this morning, then we hope that you, in faith, will obey Jesus and be saved from your sins. For as God's people, it may be that as Christians, we don't know Jesus as we should in our own lives. We hope that our study from what God says about that this morning will help us. So I invite you and encourage you to give your attention with me for a few minutes, not to me, but to God, and to God's Word, and what God says about this matter of knowing Jesus. We titled the lesson, How's Your Relationship with God? It's a probing question. It's one that hopefully gets our attention and encourages each of us to examine ourselves and ask ourselves that question. How is my relationship with God? In fact, in asking that question, it might be important that we ask a follow-up question, and that is, do I have one? Do I have a relationship with God? Do I know Jesus in my life? What place, what part does He have in me, in who I am, in who you are? We hear a lot about having a relationship, a personal relationship with God from the religion that surrounds us. And as we talk about that, and as we're going to study that today, it may be that there are Christians who, in asking themselves, do I know Jesus, do I have a relationship with God? It may be that Christians answer, well, I don't know. I don't know whether I do have a relationship with God. Or if I want one or believe I have one, how do I really know that I do? We hear a lot about this, as I said, and it's something that we need to acknowledge that the Bible talks about. The Bible talks about being with Christ. Jesus said, He that is not with me is against me. He that who does not gather with me scatters. So there is a matter of being with Jesus, knowing Jesus as we sang, trusting in Jesus as we sang. So again, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus wants you to find rest for your soul. Is your soul disrupted? Is your soul in anguish? Is there mourning in your life, sorrow in your life over sin? Over circumstances, over situations? Where is God in that mix? In your life, in your thinking, in your heart, in what you do and what you say. Are you with Jesus? Is He with you? Now in our reading in John 14 that Lauren read for us, Jesus talked about being in the Father and the Father in Him. But you know, the Bible talks about us being in Christ and Him in us. And we'll refer to that briefly early in just a few minutes.
So you see, the fact that the Son has a relationship with the Father speaks to and illustrates the idea that as Christians, we're in God and He's to be in us. Is He? What kind of relationship do I have with God? Now I know that we recoil a lot of times when we hear this idea of a personal relationship with Christ. We recoil because of the denominational perversions and distortions that have occurred in the use of that. You know, to me it seems rather redundant to say personal relationship. If I have a relationship with God, it's personal because I have it. Kind of like born again Christian, kind of redundant. If you're a Christian, you're born again. Right? But unfortunately, we recoil sometimes at this term, a relationship with God, because unfortunately a lot of times it becomes self-defined rather than God-defined. We hear people all around us who talk about having a relationship with God. And when you explore, when you observe, and when you ask a few questions, you find out what that really means is they have a feeling about God. They feel something about God. And to them, that's a relationship with God, because they feel something about God. That's not having a relationship with God. This causes somebody to feel something about God. That does not constitute the kind of relationship God wants us to have with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, that very often is what it ends up being. It ends up being an emotion-based experience rather than a Bible-based conversion. The concept of a relationship with God ends up being emotion-based. I feel it. I've experienced it. I think it. I may even live it. And therefore, my emotions being wrapped up in it, I have a relationship with God. Rather than examining it in an objective manner, using God's revealed Word to find out, is the relationship I have with God Bible-based because of a conversion to Him and Bible-based conviction? Now, let me illustrate what I'm talking about. Just ran across this website the other day. It's from the Farmers Branch Church of Christ, Farmers Branch, Texas, and a sister congregation, The Branch at Vista Ridge. A Christ-centered community, we're told. Now, this is from a Church of Christ in name, not in practice and doctrine. But I want you to just see that this is their front page of their website. They are helping people live an intimate relationship with God, they say. And they say, welcome to The Branch. Our mission is quite simple. To help people live in an intimate relationship with God. The Branch is made up of people from different religious, socioeconomic, and cultural backgrounds, but all playing common ground in their conviction that life to its fullest is experienced through an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. As you explore their website, it becomes clear that to them, an intimate relationship with Christ is not Bible-based, because they're doing all sorts of things that are not revealed in the Bible and teaching all sorts of things that are not found there. But it is emotion-based. It is self-based. It's a feeling that they have, but not a reality in their lives if we examine it from the Bible. What especially got my attention is Debbie and I went to school with a man who's now an associate minister of this group. He used to preach in a, quote, conservative Church of Christ. You know how he started, where his drift, I'm sure it didn't start here, but one of his drifts was he started encouraging clapping at baptisms down in San Antonio, Texas. Clapping at a congregation when somebody was baptized. They moved up to the Dallas-Fort Worth area and got more and more involved. They use instrumental music in worship, by the way, too. This church. So that's what I was searching for, was that. I came across this. Thought this would work in this lesson. We need to know this. A man named Steve Calvert. Went to school with him in college. Before college. And now he's going to be teaching Discover How You Can Find a Stable Christmas. Well, that's catchy, isn't it? A stable Christmas. An intimate relationship with God. But if we throw the Bible out, there's nothing intimate about it with God.
We're intimate with the devil, not with God. And that's the deception of it. And consequently, that's why a lot of times I believe maybe we swing the pendulum the other way and say, this business about relationship, that's just always wrong. Well, it's not always wrong. We need to find what the Bible says. There is a place of relationship with God, but it's not going to be self-defined, emotion-defined, experience-defined. It's going to be Bible-defined. That's what we want to look for, because I want a relationship with God. If I don't have a relationship with God, I am lost in my sins. And you are too. So we want a relationship. We want the right kind.
If you had known me, Jesus says to Philip, so we can know Jesus. He said, if you had known me, you'd know my Father also. Again, he says, yet have you not known me, Philip? We can know Jesus. Jesus wants us to know Him. Again, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? Do you not believe, understand the relationship that I have with the Father, and that He who has seen me, Jesus says, has seen the Father? Do you believe my words? He'll go on and say, believe my works. And again, to know that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me.
Jesus talks about relationship. His apostles talk about relationship. The question this morning is, do I have a relationship with God? Do you have a relationship? That's the question I want you to ask yourself. Do you have a relationship with God? And what about it? What kind is it? How can I develop it? What can it be? How can it be what God wants it to be? Not what the world defines it as in their religious error, but what the Bible says it is. The Bible says the relationship that we have with God through Christ has to do with salvation. It's a salvation relationship. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes unto the Father but by me. So, the relationship we're talking about is one where we come into a fellowship, a companionship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. That, in fact, that we are, according to Romans 6, united with Christ. Do you see yourself as a Christian, someone who is joined inseparably with Jesus? United with Christ. Look at it, Romans 6, 3 through 5. It says, do you not know that as many of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the glory of the Father, raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. We're united with Christ in the likeness of His death as we're buried in baptism. His blood cleanses us. But there's a uniting, He says now, and we're united in the likeness of His resurrection. We are raised with Jesus. Colossians 3:1 says, if you were raised with Christ. There's a relationship now there. There's a fellowship of salvation. You have a relationship with God through His Son Jesus if you're saved. If you're not saved, you don't have that relationship. No matter how much you talk about knowing God and having God in your life and having a relationship with God, if you're not saved in Jesus by His blood, as He's taught, by faith being baptized into Christ, you're outside of God. You don't have that relationship. You're lost. The gospel is to call you to that salvation. God is calling you through His Son to have that salvation and to have that relationship. You're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3:26 says, we're sons of God. That's a relationship. Sons of God. Many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. Drop down a little further with me in that verse. Into Galatians 4 and verses 8 and 9. Actually, a little bit above that, 6, 7, and 8, 6 and 7, he says that you are sons. We've been adopted as sons, verse 5, and to receive the inheritance. He says, you as sons, because you're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Father, Father. Now we have a relationship with God because we put on Christ. We've been baptized into Him. Now we're children of God's. Therefore, you're no longer a slave, but a son. If a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Children are heirs. There's an inheritance that's in Christ. It's through Christ when we are saved by Christ. Now watch. But then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not gods. When did you not know God? When you were lost. But now, after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements, to that which you desire again to be in bondage? He says, now you know God. You have known God because you in faith obeyed the gospel. You've been baptized.
He says, now that you have known God, but he says, rather, more importantly, God knows you. God receives you. Why do you turn back to sin? See? God said, our relationship with Him through His Son is one of salvation. It's that we know Him by believing His gospel.
Being saved by the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 1, look at the wording of this verse. Familiar passage, but have you noticed how he describes our salvation? It says, since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Those who know God are those who are saved by faith. If you're saved by faith, having put Jesus on and being baptized, you know God. You have a relationship with God. And the apostle said, that's why we have written to you, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship, he says, is with the Son, with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:1-4. So, we talk about a relationship with God. Fundamentally, we're talking about a relationship of salvation. Jesus died for you. He saves you. When you trust Him, when you obey, believe His Word, when you obey Him, you have a relationship with God. But that's just the beginning. That is not the end. When you became a Christian, that was not the end of your relationship. That was not the sum total of this relationship. But now being in Christ, now having salvation, the question is, how do I sustain that relationship? How does that affect me? And how do I live in that relationship with God? Any relationship requires contact. You're going to have contact with God in your life. If you don't, how can you say you have a relationship with God? It's true of people. It's true of people. If you don't have contact with the person, you can't really say you have a relationship. Not a strong, firm relationship. Oh, you may be acquainted. And it may be that a lot of Christians we're acquainted with God, but do we really know God? Let me illustrate what I'm talking about. In John 14:7-9, our reading, Jesus said, have you been with me so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? When by reason of time, Hebrews 5:11-12 talks about. You see, the contact that existed and that had occurred between Jesus and Philip and the other apostles was an opportunity for them to know Him. The contact that we have with God is an opportunity for us to know Him, to strengthen, solidify, ground that relationship that we have with Jesus. What do best friends do? They're in touch with each other, aren't they? They communicate with one another. More or less second. Just illustrating from the Bible what we're talking about, Jesus. Nathanael, and the point was made that he knew Nathanael. Nathanael had been invited to come and see. And he said, we found the Messiah. And he said, can any good thing come from Nazareth? And Philip told him, well, come and see. And Jesus said to Nathanael, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Now, Jesus knew Philip, or Nathanael.
And He knows you. He knows you. He died for you. Now the question is, do you know Jesus? Do I know Jesus? Do I obey the gospel? Sure, I know Jesus, you say. I'm a Christian. I was baptized. Yes, but has that contact continued? Are you continuing in Christ, with Christ, as He has taught you, so that truly you have that fellowship, that relationship that He wants you to have, He wants to have with you? You know, in Psalm 23, David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me." David was assured God was with him. The question for me and for you is, am I sure God is with me? And the answer then, and of course, people religiously, we've already illustrated, say, "I'm sure God's with me." Now the answer comes, what does the Bible say about it? Am I sure God is with me because He is with me the way the Bible says, and because I'm with Him the way the Bible says I need to be with Him? Is He in my life the way God expects Him to be in my life? Am I letting God in my life the right way? See, Hebrews 13:5-6 says God assures a Christian, the one who's being faithful to Jesus, the one who's united with Christ and living with Christ, He says, He Himself has said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." So that we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper and I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Is the Lord your helper? When men press and strain upon you, is He your helper? Is He your sustainer? Does His rod and His staff, do they feed you and guide you and direct you? Is He with you? He says, "I'll never fail you," but do we even stop to consider that God needs to be with us every day because we need to be with God every day? God will be with us, but are we with Him? I'm going to have contact with God in my life as He wants me to have. If truly He's with me and I'm with Him. You know, think about this for a minute. If you did not have contact with a person for 6 months, what kind of a relationship would you have with him after those 6 months? Okay, take a mother or father or brother or sister or somebody that used to be a friend or was a friend or is a friend, but you don't have, you know, and for 6 months you're not going to talk, you're not going to communicate, you're not going to have contact. What kind of relationship will there be after 6 months? Well, somebody might say, "Well, it'll be just as strong as ever." Well, you're fortunate if that's the case, because most likely there'll be some reestablishing that's going to be necessary. There's going to be some rebuilding. There's going to have to be renewed contact, because when there's no contact, there's really no relationship. What there is a memory of the past, but if there's no contact with the present, there's not a relationship being sustained, is there? Jesus wants us to walk with Him and to be with Him every day, so that when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we don't have to be afraid. God's with us. Or when we're on the top of the mountain and everything as we perceive it is right with the world, we remember God. Because it's God that's with us then and with us in the low place as well. Contact with God. Well, how do I make that contact with God? I've got to spend time with God. You're going to have to spend time with God if you want the relationship of salvation and fellowship with Him through Jesus that He offers you through His Son. You know, some of you have teenage... Well, I'll just say teenagers. I won't specify gender. You have teenagers. One thing I've observed about teenagers is they spend time with their friends. They spend time with their friends when they're in the same room with you at home, because they can be on that little text thing and they can just be pounding away, can't they?
or they can be at the computer, or they can be on the telephone. We didn't have all that tech stuff when I was growing up. We had telephones. They spend time communicating with people they have relationships with.
Well, now, it's true with God. If we're going to have a relationship with God, we've got to spend time in communication with God.
God said of Moses, I speak to him face to face. God had an intimate relationship with Moses.
Face to face, straightforward. God spoke to him. Moses spoke to God.
Yes, he was a prophet, and all that is being alluded to. But there was a relationship there that God spoke to him, and Moses listened to him, and Moses prayed to God, and God listened to him. Is that you and me and our God? Are we listening to God? I'm not talking about the voice, you know, in the ear, little small voice. I'm talking about, are we listening to God's communication that He gives us in His Word? That's the way God communicates with us. He communicates to us in a revealed message. John 14:10, I read. Jesus alludes to it. He talks about, believe me, because of the words that I speak. Back over there and note that verse. It says, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I don't speak on my own authority. But the Father who dwells in me does the works. He's speaking a word from the Father. And he had a relationship with the Father because he obeyed the Word and lived the Word of the Father. God speaks to us in these last days in His Son. Question now, are you letting God speak to you? Are you listening to God? If you're not listening to God, how can you say you've got a relationship with Him? I can tell you what, I know my teenage daughter knows who she has relationships with. It's the ones who text her or email her. Isn't that right? I know it's right. No, she said no. You're embarrassing me, Dad. That's a father's job, is to embarrass a daughter, right? Sure, we know that. Why is it then, though, we get to God? Really, why is it we get to God and we think, I've got a relationship with God, but I never listen to Him? I never open His Word. I never read His words to me, but I've got a great relationship with God. Really? Tell you what, if my children never talk to me as much as some Christian never, or didn't listen to me as much as some Christians never listened to God, I'm sure I wouldn't think I had a good relationship. Really? Are we just being deceived by the devil? That I can never read what God is saying to me, but everything's okay? Why do we put the readings in the bulletin? It's an opportunity, it's an encouragement to listen to God. Do you know 30 minutes a day? 30 minutes a day and we can read the Bible in a year. 30 minutes. I'm sure there's 30 minutes of worthlessness on a TV that could be turned off and we could read the Bible. But will we do it? Will we do it? Not a matter of could it be done, but will I do it? Will I do it? The psalmist says that the blessed man is the one who delights in the law of the Lord and in his meditation. Or in his law he meditates day and night. His delight is in the law of the Lord and he meditates on it day and night. He had a relationship with God. The blessed man. The man who spends time listening to God. Knowing, therefore, what God wants of his or her life. You see, if I don't listen to God by reading His Word, I don't know. I don't really know what God wants of me. I may think I know. I have a feeling about what I think God wants, but I really don't know what God wants unless I open His Word and learn from God what it is He wants of me. How in the world, then, can I walk with Him if I don't even know what His will is for me? But I'm so deceived as to thinking I'm okay with God. God's okay with me. No, sir. That's the world's lie. That's the devil's lie. And we need to open our eyes and open our hearts and understand the way that we live. We has something to do about whether or not we are listening to God, spending time with God through His Word. Well, Psalm 119 is just another illustration of the point. It's made over and over, but I have it here because it's a verse that really particularly is in a context speaking of the young man, the young person. And he says, "I have rejoiced in the ways of your testimonies, God, as much as in all riches." Young people, are you happier with riches or the Word of God? What makes you happier,
old person? Not just young.
Young or old, what makes us happier, riches or the Bible? You answer that, you might go a long way to answer something about what kind of relationship you have with God today. "I have meditated on your precepts and contemplated your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word." He says, "I won't forget them." That implies he knew them. He spent time learning them, knowing them. If he didn't know them, he couldn't have forgotten them in the first place. But he says, "I'm not going to forget them because I'm going to live in a relationship with you and the blessings that you give me."
Got to spend time with God. We got to spend time with God, praying to God.
Spend time listening to God. We listen to Him by reading, learning His Word, believing His Word. God wants us to pray to Him. Pray without ceasing, the Bible says. Jesus went out a long time before the light, Mark 1, to a solitary place, and there He prayed. Early in the morning. How much quiet time do we have? How much alone time do we have with God? Do we even pray? How can we expect to have a relationship if we're not praying? We're grievously sinning against our God. Do we really think we can live a life without prayer and go to heaven when we die? That's a choice we make. It's a decision that we make in ourselves. Will I have a relationship with God, and will that relationship be identifiable because I take time to pray to God, to talk to God, and in nothing be anxious, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known to God? Do we go to God with our requests? In nothing be drawn away, be anxious, be distracted from Him and His Word and will for our lives. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ, or through Christ Jesus. You see, am I spending time praying with God about everything? Thanking Him, petitioning Him, asking for His blessing, asking for wisdom, learning His Word so I can apply it in my life, praying for strength, praying for others. Am I praying at all? It might be a very good barometer to tell us how our relationship with God is this morning. We need to spend time worshiping God. See, if you have a relationship with God, you want to worship Him. David said, the psalmist said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord." I was happy. It wasn't a drudgery. It wasn't something that felt like, well, I'm just burdened. I'm just lassoed and have to be drugged there. And, I just got to show up there. What an ungodly attitude. I got to show up.
Really? Do we really think we'll go to heaven if that's our attitude about worshiping God? I'm obligated. I've got to go. Better show up. If you don't show up, those elders, they're going to be upset. Don't show up, I got to teach a class, so I better go. And we think God is pleased. We think we have a relationship with God.
God is calling upon us to look at our hearts. Am I here with the sacrifice of my lips offering joyous praise? He could have called 10,000 angels. Were we reflecting upon His death? Do you remember singing that song? If not, where was your mind? You see, worship is spending time with God. It's a time that expresses the relationship of adoration and reverence and honor to the Almighty and the wonderful salvation He has given us in His Son Jesus. What kind of relationship do I have? Spending time with others. I'm sorry, spending time serving others is spending time with Jesus. It's spending time with God. Jesus said, "In as much as you did it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." When we help somebody else, when we serve somebody else, we're being like Jesus. When we help our brethren, we're showing that relationship that we have together in Christ. We're learning to be like Him. How is it that I have a relationship with Jesus if in my treatment of others I show them anything but Jesus? You see, if I'm going to have a relationship, I'm going to have to spend time with God. I'm going to have to trust God. Jesus, in talking to Philip in John 14:11, talked about trust. Oh, He didn't use that word, but He talked about belief. Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me. The foundation of belief is a trust. We believe that what Jesus says is true. We trust it to be true, and so we pattern our life after it. We order ourselves. We conform ourselves to what He says because we believe Him. We believe He's the Son of God. We trust the Almighty. So Abraham was called the friend of God because he had a faith that obeyed what God said. Even to the point of saying, take your son, your only son, this son of promise, and you offer him as a sacrifice. He raised the knife. He's prepared to kill his son. And the question comes to me, am I ready with that level of devotion to trust God? Because again, trust is an integral part of a relationship of faith and obedience that God wants us to have. Do I trust what God commands me? That it's for my good, that it's right, it's for the world's good? Do I trust what God promises me and look to those promises and fulfillment of those? See, Abraham trusted God and the promises God had made. And so he obeyed God even to the point of offering his son. Because he knew when God spoke, that was truth. Why is it today that when God speaks, we begin to explain it away, rationalize it, compromise it, make allowances against it? Is it because we trust God so much? Is it because we have such a vital relationship with God that we do that with His Word? I think not. No, that's not why we do it, is it? If we're going to have a relationship with God, we've got to have a trust that obeys Him. I want you to look at 1 John 2. Well, 1 John 2 and John 14:2, Jesus said, if a man loves me, he'll keep my word. My Father will love him. We'll come to him and make our abode with him. Make our home with him. That's verse 23 of John 14. If we're going to love him, we're going to obey him. And then there's relationship. Then there's abiding. Then there's fellowship. And look at 1 John 2, 3 through 5. Now, this hits home with the common expressions of the day, but it hits home with you and me. It says, now by this we know that we know Him. This is how we know God, if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. This is how we know Him. This is how we know we're in Him. If we trust Him, if we obey Him, see, we do what He says. We're going to have a relationship with God. We're going to have to trust to the point of complete obedience so that we can cast our cares upon Him. The Christian says, what does that mean? Cast my cares upon Jesus. We've already read some verses that help answer it. In nothing be anxious, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. Pray to God. And then trust His word to being true, and you obey Him. And you let Him take care of the rest. You believe Him, you trust Him, you obey Him, and let God take care of the rest. You see, he says in 1 Peter 5:5, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care on Him, for He cares for you. I want you to note something there with me. First, He says in verse 6, have the humility to trust the power of God. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. When we face a trial, face a trouble, face a problem in our lives, do we trust the power of God to see us through? That's having a relationship with God that God gives us as His children. He'll see us through. He's got the power that I don't have nor will ever have. He does. And it's His power that sees through the moment to the day of eternity. Cast it upon Him. Pray to Him. Know His Word. Live His will. And trust that by doing that, all will be well for you. Because you see, when it's all said and done, life is not the here and now. It's the eternity that we're looking for. It's the home above. That's our home. And so, in the meantime, but you see, we have to humble ourselves, don't we? We have to humble ourselves to cast our care upon God. We have to say to ourselves, I can't do it by myself. And that's real hard for a lot of us to do. To say, I can't do it by myself. I need the help of God. And understand He gives that help by trusting His Word, by living His Word in my life, by learning His will, living His will, by praying to Him, by serving others. You see, when we do all those things, by worshiping Him, when we're involved in those in the life of a Christian, then we're in a position to cast our cares upon God. He'll bear us up. He'll not forsake us. You see, and we'll be brought to eternity. But it takes opening ourselves up to God. How do I cast my care upon God? It's humbling myself and saying, God, I need You. In Your way. On Your terms. Not on mine. Not on my terms. My terms don't cut it. But on Your terms, God. I'll do that in my life. Then I'll receive this promise of grace, of favor, of help. The blessing that comes as being a child of God. Finally, brethren, if we're going to have a relationship with God, we've got to take care of it. Every relationship has to be nurtured, has to be cared for, if it's going to be strong. We teach that over and over and over in marriage, don't we? As a husband and wife, we have to take care of our relationship. It's true with us and God. Someone says, God seems so far away from me. And the answer, in truth, the answer is, how close are you to God? God is as close or as far away from you as you choose Him to be. Think about that. God fills heaven and earth. God is as close to you or as far away from you as you choose for Him to be. Jesus said in Revelation 3 and in verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. I'm at the door of your heart, of your life. I'm there knocking. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. There'll be a relationship. But you see, it's up to me and you to say and to mean and to live the point of truth that I want a relationship with God. I want Jesus in my life. I want to trust Him, to rely upon Him, to know His will, and to communicate myself to Him in prayer. So He's as close or as far away as we choose. See, just like Jesus had said, if a man love me, he'll keep my word. Here He says, I'm at the door, I'm knocking, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door. Opening the door is hearing Him and obeying Him. Loving Him, obeying His Word. Someone says, I love God. But by our works we deny Him. when we're not obeying Him, when we're not trusting Him, when we're not in relationship with Him, we're not having contact with Him, we don't read His Word, we don't pray to Him, we don't worship Him, we don't serve others, we don't think about Him, we're not in relationship with Him. Open the door. Obey His Word. You know He's the Son of God. Obey Him. He'll come in. He'll dine with you. You and Him, you'll have His pleasures and His blessings as a child of light, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Bear the fruit of light in your life. And He'll show what pleases God. That's what all this is about. And finally, brethren, what it all means is, the result is you'll become more and more like Jesus. That was the will. That was what Paul desired, that he would be like Him, that he'd have fellowship with His sufferings, that he'd attain unto the resurrection of the dead. We're to learn Christ and live in holiness and righteousness and truth. Loving others, God, trusting God, relying upon Him, seeking His righteousness first, obeying Him in all things. These are the things that Jesus did, the things that we, in relationship with God, will do. So how is our relationship with God? It's the gospel that calls us to know God or to be known by God, so that we can live with Him now and live with Him eternally if we will do the will of the Father who's in heaven. Those who said, "I have a relationship with You, Jesus, we did works in Your name. We cast out demons. We did many mighty things in Your name." He said, "I didn't know You. I didn't know You. You didn't do My Father's will." Those who do the will of the Father know the Son, and the Son knows them. Do you know the Son? Does the Son know you? If so, don't turn back to sin. The warning to the Galatians. If you don't, obey Him now so you'll know Him and He'll know you. Live in the relationship God has established for you, being saved in Christ. Live with the sure hope of heaven, of eternity with God. That's the call of the gospel. As we offer the invitation, as we sing the song together, I think we're going to sing "Why Not" tonight, and that's great, but why not right now? Obey it now while you stand, while we sing.
Number 326. 326. And we walk with